Is David Neal here? I don't know if David's here. So I hang out with David Neal sometimes, and David Neal told me about a year ago, he's like, Dixon, we need an elevator speech. And I was like, wow, we need an elevator speech. And this is how David thinks. Like he's very into kind of system thinking and strategy. And he says, you got to have some sort of thing that when people ask what St. Paul's about, you can give it to them on an elevator, right? Not that anyone talks in an elevator. It's probably a bad metaphor, but you know, it's like the kind of 30-second kind of thing. And so I was thinking about that, doing a rector's report, and I think some of what our elevator speech is becoming is what I found myself saying at the announcements a lot for the last 6 to 8 months. And so it goes like this. We are St. Paul's. This is what we do. We're a community of people who believe what? That God is healing the world. We believe, in spite of all the evidence, in spite of everything you see out there, that there is a God that is active and that is putting all the broken pieces back together, and that you get to be a part of it. All of us have a role to play. We've got a job to do. Everybody gets to be involved in that, and you bring what you've got toward that end, and God takes it all and uses it for the healing of the world. That's a pretty good elevator speech. And so I've been thinking about, you know, kind of narrating the last year of what we're up to in light of that. Jesus in the gospel today talks about his disciples are called to be salt and light. And these are two really kind of provocative and profound metaphors. Light, light just sounds kind of religious-y this many years later. But if you think about it practically, light just allows you to see things for what they are. Light is what happens in a child's room where there's a monster in the corner and you turn the light on and it's just all the clothes that you didn't put in your dresser like your mom asked you to. That's what light does. Light like exposes things, but light also just shows things for what they are. Oh, here's how things are supposed to be. Followers of Jesus are supposed to disclose with their lives that the world's being healed. They show that reality for what it is. They point it out, they call it out, they illuminate it by what they do and by what they look for and by what they pay attention to. So that there's a light piece of this, but there's the other part of the metaphor, right, is salt. And you all know salt is delightful. It's a preservative, right, which is a way that you could take that teaching. But what else does salt do? It makes it taste better. It brings the flavor out. You know, you got some popcorn, you want to put some salt on it. You put some butter too. But like, salt. So there's also this way that like people that belong to Jesus are bringing out this flavor of healing, of restoration, of resurrection in the world. That's what we do. That's what we're about. It's our raison d'etre. It's how we roll, as the kids say. The kids are like, we don't say that anymore. There are lots of ways that is happening at St. Paul's, okay? Especially in a very contentious, very divided NFL playoff season. I mean, political time. It took you a while on that one. I see this evidence of a community of people that when culture says, tribe up, get safe with the people you know, denigrate people that are different, we're leaning in. And people that are reaching out and connecting, it's beautiful. And everything that I've seen kind of thinking about this year, there is so much evidence of this community being a community that is doing light, showing the world that God is healing it and bringing that flavor out with their actions. So here, I'm going to narrate this to you. Ready? Here we go. So for example, things that are proclaiming this. First, Second Harvest Food Drive, which we just completed actually last Sunday. This year, we generated the equivalent of 11,785 meals, which is 68% better than we did last year. Come on! And Clyde reminded me this morning that this is the equivalent of feeding 140 families of four, three nutritious meals a day, seven full days. Because that's like the tangible, that's what you did when you brought canned goods and you threw them in the truck. There's other things going on too. Sarah started a group called Pub Theology for young adults, and they kind of get together and they meet in a pub or restaurant around town and talk about faith and life. This group has also begun to start their meetings by volunteering at Kids Cafe. They're like, oh, Kids Cafe needs volunteers. We get together every Thursday. Why don't we all just turn up and volunteer, and then we'll go eat? And so that's happening. They also, Sarah hosted a book group on Lauren Winter's book before she came to town to speak, that was really popular. Our Faith and Justice Committee is doing Salt and Light work. They're still hosting luncheons every month, which are so, so good. But they also took a big risk and hosted a conference, the Trinity Institute Listen for a Change Conference, which was a conference about sacred conversations in race. They reached out to people in the city. We have more than 100 people here for a weekend to talk about race, racial dynamics, racism, and what as Jesus followers we're supposed to do in the mix. Like, how are we theologically resourced to have these conversations? It was fantastic, utterly fantastic. And it was neat because it put St. Paul's in this great light of being not only one of the people that are trying to lead Winston-Salem in that conversation, but I think also put us in the light of chief learners, because the way they positioned it was about, what do we need to know that we don't know? What are the things that we can learn from each other? So beautiful, beautiful stuff happening there. They also have been involved in some of our Sunday morning panel. We did a panel discussion when we kicked off Christian Ed in the fall of 2016. Kids Cafe volunteering, I mentioned it before, it ticked up this year. Not only was the pub theology group a group that dug in, but we ended up divvying up weeks, and the clergy each took a week that we showed up and prayed to kind of bring some more connection to the ministry. And the youth group started volunteering with Kids Cafe. Again, another instance where they were here on Wednesdays and they're like, we could volunteer. So we're watching that ministry develop more volunteers through creative sourcing, like things we wouldn't have thought of before, we thought of, and now we're doing it, and it's kind of happening. Again, salt and light. Our men's ministry continued to offer dinner and programs for men of the parish to connect on Monday nights. The senior adult ministry continues going strong 47 years after Dudley Colquhoun created it. They did 7 trips and monthly luncheons. Their soup fundraiser donated $1,200 to the Episcopal Farm Worker Ministry. They offered pastoral support for our sick and homebound people through the Roses visitation. Do you guys know about Roses? It's like this great group of people that go and visit homebound seniors, and they're like dedicated to them. It's kind of like Stephen's ministry, which Anne also was involved in coordinating, connecting with people that are going through seasons of trauma or grief. Beautiful things. Eucharistic visitors took communion to over 100 sick and homebound people. We had over 200 vases of altar flowers that were delivered by volunteers to people that were sick or grieving. And our transportation ministry brings parishioners to church and offers assistance with medical appointments. And that's something that also doesn't get noticed a lot, but it's happening over and over again, so that people that can't get here, well, we'll come get you, right? Because we're St. Paul's. This is what we do, right? This year at VBS, we had more than 100 kids. It was huge. That's a lot of kids, okay? That's a lot of kids. Deacon Lauren doesn't get frazzled. She is frazzled. But it was amazing to watch the community turn out, all of you volunteering to turn out. Our preschool got a new playground this year. They also got a new director, but I'm going to get to that. But have you guys been down there to see it? I know you spend a lot of time on the playground. But the upper playground is getting renovated. We also, you might have been down there because we held 3 different parish-wide parties this year. We had a picnic, we had a Pentecost party, and our Fall Fest, and all of them were really well attended. Like, people turned out for them and hung around, and we had barbecue and we had live music, and that's something that I see this parish starting to move toward more community life together, and that was really exciting to me. I got all fired up, and listen, if you count like the spaghetti supper and the pancake dinner, like we did it more and more, maybe we just like to eat. Maybe we're like eating our feelings. I don't know, but I like those feelings. They taste great. EFM started new classes this year. We launched a new website this year. Remember that? We launched a new website and reformatted Parish Light. Carrie did such a great job and continues to manage that so well with the communications committee. We lemonaded on the lawn a lot. Remember that too, when it used to be hot. We had a poverty simulation that our outreach ministry and Reed WS hosted. Speaking of Reed WS, are you paying attention to what's happening with this thing? Okay, Reed WS is one of the ministries of this church. They function in the parish like the preschool does, where they are a direct out outgrowth of our life, okay? This ministry that provides reading, tutoring, and assistance to kids in their schools is blowing up in the good way. It's growing. They are gaining more and more traction in town. And one of the things that's most profound is that Henry, is Henry here? I don't know if Henry's here. There she is. Hi, Henry. In the back. Okay. Like a good Episcopalian. All the way in the back behind the pillar where I can't see her. Henry figured out how to partner with Cook Elementary School. It's now an elementary school. And basically used her mojo to arrange for every single teacher in that school to receive Reed W.S. Orton-Gilliam reading training. Okay? It is awesome. All right? Now, here's why. Where are you, girl? You are a treasure, sister. Because Henry can finagle it. She's partnered up with the principal. This is why this is so profound. Because where is Cook? It's on the bottom of the hill, across the street at the Thurman Street corridor, which is a neighborhood that St. Paul's has historically felt like belonged to it. It looks up on us. We look down on it. Not in a bad way, just geographically. What does it mean for us to connect and be ministers of the gospel? It's happening in Reed WS. And the thing that was, the principal of Cook was here for their Reed WS's fundraiser, and they're starting to move the needle. Like this training is starting to happen. It's starting to change things. Because of you, because of this ministry. Because we're St. Paul's, and this is what we do. Carol, thank you for talking about all of the groups that meet here. Like, this facility is getting used all the time. So when you share to make sure we can do everything from fixing floors to getting water leaks done to when we have to replace the carpet in here, whatever we do, it is not just a gift you're giving yourself, because St. Paul's only spends money on itself. All of these facilities are used for the benefit of this city. And you'll see it. Come hang out here. And you'll see Tom McDowell be frazzled with all the groups that are running in and out of here. We're sharing what we have. The truest form of an expression of love that I experienced from any of you this year was when you let me take your picture for pictorial directory. That is still in the works. Thank you all for doing that, for showing up, for letting us take your pictures, for helping us figure that out. I know nobody likes that. I get it. But it's good for us because it was us leaning in to know each other. Remember that art and architecture brochure that came out a couple of years ago? They finished the one on the stained glass windows. It's also available. So if you don't have it, I think it's in the back of the narthex, and you can get it online. There's a website that correlates with it. So you can go in any room that has a stained glass window in this building, pop it up on your phone, and you can see who gave the window, what it is, how long it's been there. It's amazing. I think the same group worked on the two of them. I'm sort of seeing Sue nod a little bit. So I'm... Jill and Sue did. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for that gift to us, both of you. Talk about a labor of love. We also continued participating in diocesan ministry. Sarah Arger Graves is on the Commission on Ministry, so she works with people that are getting ordained. I became the dean of our convocation for the second year, which is a glorious post of much renowned. But also John Hunter, and I think John's here, where's John? Just because I got to point you out there. That guy was part of the group of folks that got to priests and lay people that put together the slate of candidates for our bishop election that's going to happen next month. So John put in a ton of, it's basically John retired and then took a full-time job putting together bishop nominations. And Pat's like, that's right. He said we travel, and now look at him. So anyway, John, thank you for that ministry and representing St. Paul's. Like, these are the things that go on that you don't know. Morris Friedman is following in his footsteps. Morris is on Bishop and Council. I don't know if Morris is in the room, but St. Paul's continues again to participate in diocesan ministry and leadership, showing salt and light. The 1876 Society added more new members. In 2015, we had 22 members. Last year, we had 34 members. As of this day, we have 49 members in the 1876 Society, which is, it's amazing. It's a group of people that have committed to remember St. Paul's as part of their estate planning. And a lot of you have done that. Many of you intend to, and I look forward to receiving your information. But again, a gift of people that are like, I want to give this back. I want to make sure that this church continues to be what it is and do what it does, even when I'm not here. We went to Canoga this year, and it was fantastic. Our youth choir continues to grow, and the parental support and involvement is also growing. One of the things that they did, and John worked this out with his volunteers, is figured out that if they added family dinners on Wednesday night, everybody could eat together. And so it was this great, first off, it was logistically really helpful, but it was also this beautiful example of, hey, if we're already here, why don't we have a meal together and build community? And so community starts to happen when you eat together. And so that's happening in the music ministry. Also in the music ministry, we get to welcome Alan. Alan Trush, where's Alan? Here you go. We're so glad that you're here as our assistant organist choir master. And Alan is also kind of working with the novices and a real integral part of that program, although I won't saddle you with too much. I know you just got here in like October. But we expect big things this year. So just know, this time next year, you know, it's all on you. No. But music ministry continues to do incredible stuff from everybody in the choir that volunteers to be here. And this thing, the choir, not just on Sundays do they show up, but they come in for funerals that we do. We did some really big funerals this year, and the choir's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll show up. And like, that matters. Like, the way we sing songs, it really matters. And the Friends of Music series continued to bless the city with lots of different concerts, offerings, not to mention the original pieces of music that were commissioned as part of our All Saints celebration and Nine Lessons and Carols. The Bazaar crossed 70 years this year. 70 years! Come on! That's awesome. That was a big, big milestone. And something that's totally volunteer-led. That's been 70 years of volunteer ministry hosting that event, among so many others. One of our other big staff additions this year was we hired Karen Norris as the head of school for St. Paul's Preschool, and it is fantastic. Has anyone, you probably haven't met Karen. We gotta get Karen in here. She lives in Greensboro, doesn't go to church here. I know you read about her, but listen to this, this is so cool. So the preschool, they have enrollment in 2014-2015 was 128 students. Not all of them were 5 days a week. Some of them were part-time. Last year, 2015-2016, or the year before, we had 133 students, but some of them were part-time students. And then 2016-2017, it's the same amount. It's 133 students in the school, but there's mostly full-time students. And I think I heard, and I don't have this written down, about 50% of them are St. Paul's parishioners. And it's been really cool to watch the overlap. I don't know if Lauren's in here, but Lauren and Karen work really closely together. She's back there. And so the school and the church are continuing to have this, like, really, they're building synergy together where kids, they're like, well, I might want to come to that church event. So they hosted a Christmas carol sing this year. No, it's called, hold on, Karen sent me a lot of data. Carols and Cookies, it was a first annual kind of Christmas thing for the preschool, and they're like, we're going to have like 70 people here, it'll be fine. They had 165 people. They're like, oh, this is something that people want, this is a good thing. Likewise, Lauren had this big list of people from 100 of the 100 kids that had come to VBS, and she's like, well, you know what, we're doing a Christmas pageant on Advent 4, I wonder if people want to come. So she sends an email out to everybody that came to VBS to see if they wanted to also come to the Christmas pageant, and some people did. First time they ever came to church was when their kids were in the Christmas pageant in this room. That's the kind of like creative, innovative stuff that is really exciting. Preschool continues to grow. I know I'm not going to get through it, go through all the numbers with you. You can see that, but like revenue from tuition and the fiscal year are increasing. And there's increased teacher training happening. The thing that's, I think, most exciting to me is that Karen told me she gave 10 tours last week of the preschool. And she's like, Dixon, here's the deal. If I had another 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old classroom, I could fill them, okay? So we gotta build more classrooms. But this is an exciting time. Like, the preschool is not in decline. It's growing, and they're like innovating on it, and they're figuring out what the vision is to move it forward. Again, integral part of our church. It's who we are and what we do. Okay, I've got, the youth continue to grow and develop. In the youth ministry, Nick is doing such great work. They took a big trip to Chicago this year, like the first summer trip we'd done in a while. Nick, was that, I know that was the first one you had done. Was that the first one we'd had maybe in a while here? Do you remember? Yeah, so it was really good to sort of begin that rhythm again. I also got to go on that trip, which was glorious. We had our Habitat Humanity. We did a Unity build. Summer Enrichment, that summer camp program that we run, crossed its 44th year, which also should deserve applause as a summer camp experience for disadvantaged kids. Also totally volunteer-led. We had a new women's circle get started, and those circles continue to go strong. We got strategic about adult formation. The Tower Room Committee found its groove this year with Mike Sprinkle, Sarah Weatherman, and Margaret Verner kind of taking that archiving work in earnest. We're going to be reporting on it in Parish Life, but that's something that's happening. All of you showed up with blankets for the homeless on Blanket Sunday. We had over 500 blankets this year that we collected for the homeless. We had tons, and I don't even think we quantified all the things that we collected and took out east for Hurricane Matthew relief, but you all showed up for that. You also showed up for our All Souls service and our St. Thomas Day service, both of which were new liturgies designed to address the pastoral needs of folks that either have lost someone in general — All Souls is for all the faithful departed — or St. Thomas was about kind of the melancholy that can come around Christmas time. And so both of those were really, really well attended and spoke, I think, to the need and the health of St. Paul, saying, hey, we can have church and be part of the rhythm of God, even when everything isn't up and to the right and exciting on the graph, even when things are low. So just really, really good work. And I think I was proud to see this community going there. It wasn't like, oh, St. Thomas, I'm not going to that. Like, people showed up. They opened themselves up to God in that space. That's really, really healthy. We had 8 weddings. We had 20 baptisms. We had 32 confirmations. And we did 37 funerals. And we concluded the year by buying a radio station and a partridge in a pear tree, which is kind of great. And look, I'm just mentioning some of this stuff. I'm not even mentioning half of what's happening here. There's so many unseen, unknown ministries. So many of you give of yourself, your time, in places people don't even know, they never see. So for everybody that's given anything to St. Paul's this year, thank you. Give yourselves a hand and everybody else a hand. Thank you. All right, I'm going to move quick because I know you're like, hey, we already elected vestry. We get to get out of here. This is important for you to know, though. All the stuff I'm mentioning to you, okay, we are bucking the national trends here at St. Paul's. So the Episcopal Church last year lost 37,000 members in 2015. Their attendance declined 20,631 people, and 43 parishes closed, okay? St. Paul's, we welcomed 108 new members. And that does not include youth confirmands, which I learned later you can actually use to pad your numbers. I'll have to remember that for next year. We only had 14 folks transfer out. We did have 37 people die. We had 12 births, and again, I talked about 20 baptisms. Attendance was up. You did it. Oh, heavens. Now, like 6.5%, okay? The bar is still, it could be, you know, we're working. We went basically from an average Sunday attendance of 523 to an average Sunday attendance of 554, okay? That's fine, all right? Last week, everybody showed up. We had 700 people, okay, across all the services. That's kind of where we need to be. That's like when we're here and we're leaning in. So it's one of those things that I'm really excited to see the trend kind of moving toward us being together. That is exciting. And the fact that membership and attendance are rising is completely at odds with the way it's happening in our national church and mainline denominations. And like we've talked about this. You guys know this. That's why you're around. You know that God is doing something really special here, and it really matters. You stepped up with giving this year. We had... So we had basically, like we talked about, Carol talked about, we are, oh, let me think how I narrate this to you quickly. Essentially, we had, I don't know how I want to say this to you. It's not that big a deal. I just have like a big paragraph of stuff, and now I'm wasting too much time. All right. As of today, we are 98% of the way to our $2.1 million goal, okay, with pledges. This is only the third year we've crossed the $2 million mark with pledges, with actual pledge income. And as Carol said, last year was the first year we actually made it. That's huge in the church's history, which is immense. But of that money, we did lose almost $100,000 because of people moving or deaths in pledges, okay? But we had $126,000 of new money from people either that increased their pledge or had never pledged before and said, all right, I'm going to pledge this year. What that means is, first off, every dollar really matters. All of you that increased pledges, that gave, that leaned in, that is a sign of health. That is something we are grateful for. We couldn't do this without you doing that. It also means that because of those were big losses because of the kind of deaths or people that transferred out, shifted in pledges. $100,000 is a lot in a $2.1 million budget. It means that we basically stabilized. Like this year we absorbed it because that's how organizations do. And it puts us on a path to financial sustainability. It means we are more sustainable now than we've ever been before because more of us are bearing the responsibility together. We're not depending on just a few folks to carry most of it while the rest of us kind of do whatever. Like it's spreading out. That's awesome. That's super great. Can we give ourselves a hand for that? All right, so last thing to say. All of this, like this is all good news. And like we have challenges and there's things that we have done and we didn't quite get right. There's things that we're gonna do and we're gonna try that we won't get right in the future, especially when it comes to figuring out some of the things we might do with the building, ministries we might give a shot, they might not work. That's fine. I want us Jesus tells a story about a rich man that goes away and he gives three of his servants shares of money to manage. And two of them take it, and they either double it or they triple it. They turn it, they take it, and they do something with it. A third one takes it and buries it and doesn't do anything with it. And then when the rich man returns, he's like, okay, what'd you do with what I gave you? And two of them are like, I did this with it. And the third is like, I kind of got panicky, and so I didn't do anything. And that guy in the parable gets scolded, right? Why? Because God gives us things because we're supposed to do something with them. God gives us stuff not so we can sit on it and just enjoy it and have it be for us. God gives us things because God's excited to see what we might do next with what we've been given. This church has a long history of really amazing civic and social engagement in Winston-Salem. We have a lot of history here. I think it's our time to consider not just what our history is, but what's our future going to be. We got a building that we need to figure out what we're going to do with. We've got all kinds of energy that's happening here. Let's lean into that. Let's take it and use it and move forward into Winston-Salem being salt and light, doing what we do to show the world that we don't think the sky is falling. That even though things look difficult and we feel like we're divided and there's all kinds of tension and stress, God is still healing this world. God is still in charge and God gets what God wants. And if we pay attention and we participate in that, we get to be part of that solution to things. We get to be salt and light. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are St. Paul's and this is what we do. Amen.